This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is October 21st, and my name is Bernice Sam. Would you mind telling me your name and your address?
My name is Kwok Wing Lui. I live in 1286 Sierra Madre Boulevard, San Marino.
California.
California.
Okay. Now, Wing, were you born in this country?
No, I was born in China.
Which part of China?
Southern, near Canton.
What is your village name?
Sunwei.
Oh, Sunwei.
Yeah.
Oh, Sunwei produces a lot of sweet oranges.
Oranges,
huh?
Yeah.
Sunwei, do you remember the name of the village?
Namfenlei.
Namfenlei, okay. Now, did you tell me what year you were born?
1936.
January 10th. That will make you how old?
I'm 44.
Ooh, a young man of 44.
Wow.
How I envy you. All right, Wing. I would like to know something about your background in the village. Was your father considered a wealthy man in the village?
I say he's well-to-do. I wouldn't say he's wealthy.
Do you remember much about the village, the houses?
Oh, yeah.
All right, could you describe a little bit?
I think my great-grandfather built a big house, quite big. I think we have 10 rooms, two-story. And he had four sons.
And your father was the what, oldest?
No, I talk about my great-grandfather.
Oh, great-grandfather, I see.
Okay. So my grandfather is number three in the family. And my father is the oldest son.
Now, a village home with 10 rooms is pretty big, isn't it?
Very big. It's, uh-huh. It's very huge. Because they intend to have all the family stay in one house.
I see.
And that's this idea, four downstairs for the four sons. And the grandchildren will be living upstairs. So when his son died, then the oldest one being downstairs, that kind of thing, that rotation system.
Oh, I see. Because the older son will be older.
Yeah.
Probably he cannot climb upstairs that well or something like that.
Well, it's the prestige. I think it's the... See, because the living room is downstairs.
Oh, I see.
So all the entertaining is downstairs. So all the one is less important or younger one would be upstairs.
I see. Now, besides the house, what else did you have around your neighborhood?
It's quite organized. It's well-organized village. And we don't have no toilet facility. And we have two kitchen, we have two balcony, and we have upstairs balcony, and we have, I think the living room ceiling is about 20 to 24 feet high. It's quite impressive house. Since all the son, my grandfather's brothers, they're all over here in the United States. So the house is quite empty, actually.
Did your grandfather come to America, too?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, let's stop right there. Your grandfather, what did grandfather do when he came to America?
He died quite young. And I never met him. He died at the age of 35, I think.
Grandfather.
Quite young.
All right. Did you spend your boyhood in that great big home, family home?
Yes and no, because after I was born, I moved to Hong Kong, and I was attending school in Hong Kong. And during the war, the Japanese...
Which war? Second World War.
And I think Japan occupied Hong Kong that time, and we moved back to a village. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there for about, I think about 5 years.
Stay where, in the village?
In the village, yeah. And that's what my experience and my knowledge of the village, I was about, when I left the village, I was about 9 years old.
During the Second World War, was your father in America?
Or? Yes.
Then, all right, then you went to school in Hong Kong. Do you remember the name of the school?
Yeah, I went to kindergarten with Duck Ming, Siu Ho.
And then high school?
No, then I went back to the village. I attended, there was not really a school as such, you know, it's just a, that like a red schoolhouse in the old day in America. Like I think one teacher, we learned the old Chinese classic writing, reading.
Okay. Now then, did you get a chance to go to college before you came to America?
No, I left Hong Kong when I was in junior high.
I see. All right. Now then, when you came over to America, did you come by yourself or with your family?
With my sister.
You were junior high age, and how old was sister then?
Oh, she's about 5 years old.
Only 5 years old? Mm. Oh, then how old were you?
I was 15.
15 and a sister 5 years old, and two of you just traveled together.
Mm-hmm.
Did your mother come?
My mother came here first.
Uh-huh. And she was already in America?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, and then father was in America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's incredible. Then on the ship, who took care of the little sister?
I flew from Hong Kong over here, and my...
What year was that when you flew?
52.
52, oh yeah, at that time you could.
Yeah,
huh?
It's a Pan Am clip, some kind of a two-deck airplane, quite big.
See.
And my auntie accompanied me at that time.
All right, now then your father, both of your parents were here. Do you remember when your father came to America? Approximately, what year?
I would say 1929.
Now, did he come with your mother?
Oh, no.
Oh, she was left in the village for how long before she came?
She came in 1949. Well, we intend to come together, I think, due to difficulty with the immigration problem.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have, Wing?
I have one brother.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Oh, yeah.
And I have three sisters.
Okay. Now then, when you first came to America, did you go to school?
Mm-hmm.
You were only 15.
Yeah, I went to.
Do you remember the name of the school?
I went to Burrendo Junior High School.
Oh, Burrendo. Mm-hmm. And after that, where did you go?
I went to LA High School for summer school, and then I transferred to Polytechnic.
Oh yes.
To a foreign student adjustment department because the lack of knowledge of in the English language. So I was there for 2.5 years, and I graduated in high school in 1955.
55. Oh, that was probably the last year of the graduation.
Yeah. The last graduating class in that school.
All right, Wing. Then you, after that, you went to went to Polytechnic High School. At that time, where was that high school?
So Washington and Gwen.
It is the same site that we have. Traytech now. Okay, then where was your family staying then? When you
In the west side, 1124 South Wooten Place.
Wooten, oh.
It's about 3 blocks east of Washington.
How long did your family live in that particular area?
Oh, they lived since 1949 until 1962.
Are both of your parents still around?
No, my mother is still living. My father passed away in 1972.
Oh, well, mother is still living. Mm-hmm. How old is mother now?
I think she's about 65.
Only 65?
Yeah.
Oh. And she's still quite active then?
She's very healthy and very active.
And is she staying with you?
No. She's staying with my brother and my sisters.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Now, then all the time you were at home, in this American home, or your home in America, did you people speak Chinese at home?
Yes.
Why didn't you speak English?
Well, it's more practical, because my mother doesn't speak English, and it's just practical to speak Chinese.
I see. Okay, so when you first came to America, did you know some English?
Very little.
Very little.
Very little.
All right, now, then when you first came, did you have to go to work like some people did, or did you just start it for school?
Well, when I first came here, okay, let me go back. The first time I saw my father, I was 10 years old. And
where was that?
That's in Hong Kong. He came back to Hong Kong in 1948 after the war. And we
so in other words, when you were born, father was not at home. I see.
And we're a perfect stranger. And so when I first came over here, I encountered a great deal of difficulties adjusting myself to a new country and living with my parents for the first time. And I felt quite lonely, and I missed all my friends in Hong Kong. And the environment quite different from what I used to in Hong Kong. And communication just become very difficult. I think my father's, I think, is quite old-fashioned. And because of that, we have a lot of difficulty. And I felt very frustrated. And in fact, to a point, I get become very rebellious. Only inside. I mean, I don't take out any, what I call, physical violence. But deep inside me, I felt very dejected. I felt that.
Did that affect your schoolwork?
Yeah, it did, to a certain degree.
I see.
I think just because my father lived in a different world, and I lived in a different world, and because my mother left me in 48. And
48? She came here in 48, and how old were you
no,
then?
No, she came here in 49, I'm sorry. She came here in 49.
But how old were you then?
I was about 12 years old.
Oh, I see. Then who took care of you children? Some relatives?
Pretty much on our own. And my uncle took care of me. Only to a small extent, you know, pay for my meal, shelter me. But I lived pretty much by myself. I had my own company, I created my own activity, and yes?
9-1. Okay, go ahead. Wing, you said when you first came to America, you were a bit frustrated because everything was so different, and that affected your schoolwork a little bit. Then how long did you go on like this?
Oh, this. This situation persist until I went to the Army in 1959.
That was after you graduated from high school, right?
After I graduated from junior college.
Which junior college did you go?
City College.
I see. Then you went to the Army. Okay, then how was the life in the Army? How did you react to everything there?
I enjoy the Army. I really enjoy the Army. For the first time, I was away from home. I have almost absolute freedom. Give me time to think, to reevaluate my future. And I really enjoy the Army.
Where were you stationed?
I took my training in Fort Ord, and then I was assigned to headquarters company permanently, and I was quite disappointed. I want to go overseas, so I volunteered for overseas assignment. So.
But did you eventually get overseas assignment?
Yeah, eventually I went to Korea. I stayed there for about over a year, and I got discharged in 1960.
Now then after that, what did you do, Wayne?
While I was in the service, I vacationed in Hong Kong, where I got married. It appears that, like any overseas Chinese go to Hong Kong get married. But in my case, it's quite different. I met my wife when I was about 11 years old.
When you were 11 years old,
yeah,
you already knew her then?
Yeah, in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And we've been corresponding, and so we've been...
But isn't that a bit unusual, according to Chinese custom, that you were only 11, you met someone, and since then have been corresponding for all these years?
Well, I don't know, because I guess young man fancy. I fell in love, even at that young and tender age, and I was determined to marry her.
What did your parents think? Did they know about your marriage? Did you tell them?
Yeah, they knew. My mother knew her mother. Well, one day, my mother's still in Hong Kong. They sort of, they didn't reject that outright, but they felt that I was being impractical. But I was so determined, and I went ahead anyway.
Now, do you remember what kind of wedding ceremony you had? The typical Chinese or American or what?
Well, I've been a Baptist for quite some time, and my wife's family is Catholic. And when I applied for marriage in the Army, I went to many sessions with a chaplain, and they all trying to talk me out of this marriage. But like I said, I was so determined, I went ahead anyway. So because the different, I would say, we're all Christian, but the denomination different. So we didn't marry in church. We have a civic ceremony in Hong Kong, and we had a banquet.
At a Chinese restaurant?
Uh-huh. And we also have an engagement party, too.
So then after you were married, what happened to Mrs. Lui? Did she stay in Hong Kong?
She stayed in Hong Kong for about a year until she finally got her visa to immigrate over here.
Now, you were an American citizen then, so it was no problem for her to come over here, isn't that right?
No, we encountered a great deal of problems.
What kind of problems
were
that?
Because I didn't obtain my citizenship paper. Even though I was in the army, I thought I was a U.S. citizen. And when I applied for a visa, they informed me that I must go through a procedure to get citizenship paper first before I can bring it over.
Now, before you were a citizen, how in the world could they get you in the army?
You don't have to be a citizen. Even a permanent resident can be drafted.
I see. So finally, then about 1 year after your marriage, everything was all right, and so Mrs. Louis came to America to join you, right?
Well, okay, for 1 year, okay, the immigration department was very, very slow, and I'm making very slow progress in obtaining my paper. So I appealed to President Kennedy, and he helped me a great deal. I think after he sent a cable to Hong Kong, and my wife immediately received a notice that her visa approved. And there was on the paper about how Kennedy played Cupid for a Chinese couple, or that stuff. It's in LA Times. So
I hope you you have kept a copy of the clipping.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, we have that. And we have still kept the cable that Kennedy sent to me, wish me happiness, all that stuff. I have a copy of that.
Now then, after that, soon after that, Mrs. Louis came to America.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, were you out of the army then?
Oh yeah, I was out of the army since 1960, and she came over in 1961.
All right. Now, when your father was over here, did he have his own business or was he working for someone?
He's a partner in Louis Produce Company.
I see. Then which Louis Produce Company?
Only one Louis Produce Company.
You mean this one?
No, no, no. In 9th Street Market.
Yeah, 9th Street with Louis somebody.
Louis Dan.
Yeah, yeah. I see. So then after you came out of the service, were you in the family business?
Yeah, for a little while.
Mm-hmm. For how long, approximately?
I'd say about 4 years.
All right. And after that, what did you do, Wayne?
I went to work for an insurance company.
What's the name of the insurance company?
Let's see, called Wilshire Insurance Agency on Olympic Boulevard.
And how long did you stay there?
Unfortunately, not too long, because they are specialized in medical insurance for old people. And I think the Medicare came out shortly after that, and their business dropped. So I went to Getty Oil Company.
To what company?
Getty Oil Company.
Oh, Getty, uh-huh. How long did you stay there?
Oh, I worked there for about 3 years.
Now, what made you choose the insurance business to begin with?
No,
or were you just looking for a job?
No, I was in accounting department. See, right. I was in accounting major.
I see. So you did finally finish your JC, junior college, and majoring in accounting, right?
I finished JC before I went to the army. Mm-hmm. And while I was in Getty Oil Company, they encouraged me to finish my college. So they support me 100%. So while I was in Getty Oil, I attended evening class in Cal State, Los Angeles.
So how many years did you stay with Getty?
3 years.
3 years. And by that time, you had already completed your four-year college.
No, after I left Getty Oil, I went to Signal Companies in Los Angeles. And
is that also an oil company?
Well, Signal Company is a big corporation, and they have manufacturing, they have housing, investment, then oil. It's a big company, quite big. I work in the corporate accounting section. We do consolidation, we do budgeting, we do annual report and like that.
And how long did you stay with Signal at Wing?
Not long. I was there maybe less than a year.
Then what else?
Then this Los Angeles Banana offered to sell to me in 1970. So I took over this company in June 1970.
Now, this is a banana distributing company.
Yes.
I understand you are known as the Banana King.
No, not really.
Are you made out of...
No. That's a practical joke.
So since 1970, you took over this banana business. And why did you choose the banana business instead of other kind of businesses? Do you feel that you know more?
No. It's a long story. In 1969, I graduated from Cal State. And I was ready to get my CPA examination. My planning at that time was I want to be a CPA. I want to be a real estate broker. I had my license in 1969. So I thought my future in that direction. So when this business knocked on my doors, offered to me at a very attractive in fact, this business offered to me at that time was so attractive, I just can't refuse to turn them down.
Now, why did this former owner want to give up his business?
Well, he was, I think at that time, he was already close to 80 years old. And he just wanted someone that take over and able to succeed. He knew I have some produce background. He knew my father also. So that's why he approached me. And also at that time, Signal Company ran into some financial difficulty. And I see people lay off without any notice or any consideration. Then I feel I was, my opportunity at Signal is going to be limited. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I took a chance.
Now don't tell me exactly how much, but was the price offer very attractive to take over?
Extremely attractive.
I see. Mm-hmm. And then you have been at this kind of business for 10 years, right? From 70
yes.
to 80.
Right.
Uh-huh. And no doubt you have been very successful.
I do quite well.
That's good. Now then, all right, so do you intend to stay with this business for the rest of your life?
No.
Why not?
Well, right now I'm doing some exporting to Hong Kong. I've been in...
Exporting of produce?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And also interest in banking and real estate. This kind would require a lot of my energy. I think I'm getting older. I'm not as active physically as I was 10 years ago. So I can say right now, I have no intention to stay in this business for the rest of my life.
By the way, what is the name of this store, the full name, the correct name?
Los Angeles Banana Distributors Incorporated.
All right, and let me see. Okay. Now, since you left the old country, Wing, did you miss the place you were born in?
Well, when I first came over here, I missed Hong Kong a great deal. So much so that they affect me mentally. The frustration is enormous because when I was in high school, I don't speak the same dialect as most people here, and it's difficult to find friends.
But your dialect is the Seyup dialect, and most of the Chinese here speak Seyup.
No, I. Most people here Toi San at that time, and I don't speak Toi San dialect.
But isn't it close enough though, Ni San Wei and Toi San? It's close enough.
But there's still a difference in there.
Yeah,
it's still a sort of barrier because their common background, they are familiar with certain things which I'm not familiar with. Because I consider myself most of my younger year in China are in the city. And so for that reason, in the beginning, they sort of excluded me from their activity. But later on, after all 3-4 years, I get to know them pretty well. I think we get along real well. But in the initial year, the adjustment is